World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, that was like the longest break I ever had, right? I mean, no show Saturday, no show Sunday, no show Monday. I was getting withdrawal symptoms. I'll be honest with you, it's really good to kind of get away from it a little bit. Michelle and I were in, where was it, Knoxville? I think I was in Knoxville down there for the Stay Awake America tour. And thank God for Amy Young, who's putting all those things together. And it's good to be, again, amongst like-minded people. But listen, Spencer, see if you can real quickly pull up a picture of the T-shirts that we marketed, Coach Dave Live. I didn't take any stuff with me this weekend. Sometimes I feel like a gypsy trying to get people to support our ministry. And although people like the stuff around, find the T-shirt. Find it. Okay, well, we got to put them back up there because we got them. Because on the back of it, one of the things the shirt says, I'd get Michelle to get it. I don't have to. Is conservatism is pretend salt. Let me say it again. Conservatism is pretend salt. Looks like salt. Feels like salt. It ain't the real thing. A lot of times it would be hard. You want to do this? You want to do an experiment? Do this. Go get on your kitchen counter, wherever that would be, and have one of your children put salt, a little bit of salt, sprinkle some salt on one spot, and then sprinkle some sugar on the other spot, and then have your have the children bring you in the room and say, "Okay, mom, okay, dad, which one's the sugar and which one's the salt?" Because when you look at them, they're going to look like the exact same thing. And I've become more and more convinced. I've been saying this for I don't know how long. It's conservatism is pretend salt. It's sugar. The gospel is sugar. It's sugar. Sugar makes you sick. Salt heals. But people don't like the taste of salt. They like the taste of sugar. So in order to expand ministries and build churches, they serve sugar. Sugar. Sugar diabetes. In fact, I wrote a commentary about that a few months ago. Boy, that'd be a good one, Spencer. Go to newsreviews.com and see if you can find the commentary, Spiritual Diabetes. Spiritual diabetes. That's what we're dealing with. We got spiritual diabetes. I'm glad. Maybe just click in, say spiritual diabetes, see what you come up with. So I want you guys to know I'm not lying to you. We have spiritual diabetes. Spencer's looking for it. You could just Google it and you'll find it faster. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Stay with me here a second, right? A lot going on. I came back from the event down there. God bless Amy Young for all the time and effort and energy she's put in the cast. There it is. Spiritual diabetes, January 10th, 2008. Spiritual diabetes. That's what we're dealing with. America's dying from malnutrition. How long can a people survive eating junk food? Hey, friends, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm trying to paint a picture, okay? So I had 25 minutes to speak. I mean, a lot of great speakers. I'm not making fun of any of them. A lot of great speakers. And I had 25 minutes. 25 minutes. I can't imagine that. But when I was done after my 25 minutes, I had a gentleman come up to me and said, "Wow, that's the first time I've heard the gospel since I've been here." Now, that's not true because John Dislin and some others presented the gospel. Friends, are you looking at me? We better come to the realization that conservatism is pretend salt. It's pretend. It is not the real thing. And if we think that we're going to rescue ourselves out of the mess we're in by voting for conservatives, we're worse than drunken sailors. If we believe that. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. What has happened to the conservative movement that we don't mention Jesus, or we mention it in passing? When I had the opportunity to make the presentation, I spoke about Craig and Refiner's Fire. Pull that up, number three, Refiner's Fire. Spoke about that. You know what is amazing? We can't even get, I can't even, whoever, number three, Spencer, I can't even get pastors to capture the idea of staking. Can't even get pastors to do it. Pastors won't even do it. And so when we left there on Saturday, is it Saturday? Yeah, I think it was Saturday. When we left there on Saturday, I left Craig's flyers. I gave everybody there a rock, a Joshua 1 verse 3 on it. Tried to help them to get involved and go out into the culture. Gave them a flyer, the beautiful flyer that we had printed, handed it to them. Said, go, man. Go do it. Go do it. Go do it. Play that video right there. It's from Craig. Play that bit. No, but on down. I think the second. On down, Spence. You're doing great. That one. Play it. We can't get churches to do this.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk wherever you would call me.
Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you say that no greater love is this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Lord, you lay down your life not only for mankind, but for your church.
In the presence of my Savior, Spirit, lead me when my trust is with.
As you sit at the right hand of the Father at this location, we ask that you would bless, shake, mold, perfect the works of this church into the image of yourself. Not as a retreating king, but as a conquering king.
And my faith would be made stronger.
Pray in agreement with your spoken words referenced previously, inviting and releasing the Holy Spirit to bring down refined fire of the Spirit on this property, persons, and souls to cleanse, refine, purify, fortify for the days ahead.
You would call me and take me.
Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it is proclaimed. It is decreed and it is released today. And all God's people said, Amen.
In the presence of my Savior.
For those that build their house on the rock, right, when the storm comes, they will be sturdy.
Without borders, let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. And take me deeper than my.
And you always have to start a building project in a corner, right? And so that's what takes the whole building and it gets it square and then things are built up. And so Jesus isn't a cornerstone of your life. We are just encouraging you to look into
it. Spencer, go ahead and put this in the chat. The sound just isn't real good on it. I'm getting several people saying, I can't hear it. I get it. Folks, this is so easy. And the approach that we have, why are we ashamed of the gospel? Why are Christians ashamed of the gospel? Why don't Christians promote the gospel as the cure to all of these ills? Why don't we do that? No, we give pretend salt, conservatism. Even in conservative movements, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not being critical of this weekend. It was a fabulous weekend. God bless everybody that came. But I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of people think that we're going to correct the situation we're in by politics. They don't have an understanding of it. And why don't they have an understanding of it? Because they're not hearing it preached. They don't get it. Go to number 3B. Number 3B. Refinersfire225.com. Why can't we make this happen? The people are out, Christians out, prayer walking. There's Steve Deck doing it. Refiner's fire to be released upon the American church. Folks, we ain't gonna win through politics. We'll get a guy like Vivek Ramaswamy. God bless him. He ain't even Christian. He's a conservative. He ain't Christian. Hey, how about this? Don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. J.D. Vance. God bless J.D. Vance. His wife's Hindu. What? His wife's Hindu. So Craig's put all this together. Will you pray for 10 churches? You. Will you pray for 10 churches? Pick a group of 10 or more churches in your local community. Why 10? Because Abraham negotiated with God that if 10 righteous could be found in Sodom, he'd spare the city. Gives you good instructions on how to go do it. Go do it. You say, well, Coach, golly, man, we got through August. We got that month done. Woo, Coach, I need to rest, folks. We got now. Oh, boy. Okay, I'm going to do something risky here. I'm going to let Craig come in and just say whatever's on his heart. Because we handed out the flyers to everybody that left there. We handed out Jeff Klein's business card that he put together of all the different ministries we're doing. And did all that I could to try to encourage people that they can make a difference. Each one of you watching, right? If we wait on Focus on the Scamily, if we wait on them in the family research scandal, whatever, if we wait on that, they're the ones who got us right where we are, by the way. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You do know this, don't you? That some of these national ministries, and we'll get Mike Heath on here. We're going to talk about this. Some of these national ministries would get big grants, but the big grants were granted only if you didn't talk about certain issues. You do know that, don't you? The infiltration of the conservative Christian movement. Craig, you got anything to say? I got somewhere to go. Hang on with me. I got somewhere to go. Anything to say, Craig? Refiner's fire. It was handed to everybody there, Craig. Hopefully we can get it going. Craig, where can other people get these flyers that we had printed? I'll mail you one if you want one. I'll mail you one. Hand them out to church. Everybody who goes to church here ought to have their church involved in this initiative. Everybody ought to be going on everywhere in America. Go ahead, Craig.
It's probably folder under resources. Spencer, go to resources. Go to trifold. That's going to come up as a PDF on your home computer, and there's a print button. You can print it off. Show them the print button there to the right. You click that, and it's going to go to your printer, right? You can print them off of your own home. Just fold them up, right? You can take that PDF. You can send it to Staples and buy 100 of them, whatever, you know? So this is going to be real short, Coach, all right? Refiner's Fire is a platform for the end user, not for me. It's for the end user, and that's the individuals. The only way that this is going to grow two ways. This is grassroots. This is not going to the pastor and down.
They ain't going to do it, folks. We've been waiting for them. They ain't coming.
This is going from the people up, and they're saying, we want the Refiner's Fire on our church. We want it on our city. We want it in our schools. We want it in our courthouses. Randy went to 77 courthouses. You know, Pass the Salt Ministries has a testimony over the years, Coach, and we're going to get that testimony out. It's going to come, and I think Refiner's Fire is going to help lead the way in it. But the Lord's given me a plan. I'm going to execute it. I'm not going to tell what all the plan is right now. But there's two, you know, God's a covenant God. We talk about this all the time, right? We do our part. We show up. And what happens? We go to Georgia Godstone. What happens?
They come down.
It took 602 days. But here's a great thing. We're not in fall yet. September 21st is the beginning of fall. So we got 21 days of starting this, right? Amen. So in 21 days and 3 weeks, Daniel fasted for 21 days, remember? He interceded for 21 days. And he said, Lord, we got to do something. And God showed up. Gabriel showed up. So I think this is going to grow. I know it is. And just a last bit, like I've said before, I spent 30 years in the fire department. There's very few fires I ever went to that was an explosion. I did go to a couple that were explosions. The majority of them were a little electrical short, and it was a little fire, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. This is going to be the same process.
Amen. Amen. I'm moving on here. I'm going to keep moving on here. David Arthur, I sent you a text this morning. We're trying to send you a check. I don't know your address. Put it in the chat. Put it in the chat. let me do a couple things. I'm going someplace this morning. Okay, number two, pull this up. This is really, really important. Number two. Hey, folks. The COVID narrative is coming apart. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. President Trump yesterday, stop a minute. I know he was at the beginning of it. I know he played a part at warp speed. I know. Why? Because of who he surrounded himself with. He didn't know any better. He trusted the medical pharmaceutical company. He listened to the experts. You know that the Department of Health and Human Services is about to be booted to the curb. Did you know that? They're just President Trump called yesterday for an investigation into what was really going on with COVID. Did you guys know that? He got some bad advice. Trump's reversal on warp speed opens a window of opportunity to halt COVID-19 mRNA injections. Led by the President of the United States, he is demanding an investigation into his own agencies that sold us this murder vax. What's going on? Number two, pull this up there. Number one. I don't know if you knew this or not. Arrest Gates and Fauci for injecting the world with cancer. Why? This is a minute and a half. Play it.
Away. Fundamentally, right, from the outset, there's this process one. They went and got approval. They said, look, here's process one. You approve it. FDA looks at that. They say, yes, we'll grant you EUA. Emergency use authorization. Then they swap out process one for process two, which is like, it's like any number of scenarios you can imagine. You get something approved. It's like stamped off on you.
So they got emergency authorization to use this freaking jab, whatever it was. And then they changed the jab and went on that same authorization. Understand? They did a bait and switch on us. Go ahead.
Put something else in its place, they could have put motor oil in its place and have been injecting people with that and saying that it's FDA approved, right? Because they just, like, the original thing wasn't even there. So you found out this process too had all these contaminants such as DNA, which is obviously not good to be injecting foreign DNA into your body, but also this SV40, which is a cancer causing substance, right? When I've interviewed people like Dr. William Mackus, Edward Flowers, talking about the massive increase in cancer, especially these new aggressive forms of cancers. And so from your research and understanding, is it that these basically that they knew, but they hid the fact from the FDA that there was a very carcinogenic substance within these vaccines? They continued to give them. And now we're seeing just an explosion of cancer, especially among young people, right?
So I just Googled, is SV40 a carcinogen, and got an NIH.gov peer-reviewed paper, Emergent Human Pathogen Simian Virus 40 and its role in cancer. This is NIH. And it says SV40 is a known oncogenic, meaning cancer-causing DNA virus, which induces primary brain and bone cancers, malignant mesothelioma and lymphomas in laboratory animals. So they knew. So Pfizer knew they were putting a carcinogen in process two. And I have to assume that that's why Pfizer has redacted 800 pages of the manufacturing process, citing trade secrets.
They knew. They knew. Okay, hang on. I'm going to go one more place, and then I'm going to open it up. Right? I'm going to open it up. Go to, excuse me, number four. I don't know who this guy is, but I read it, and I said, boom. And I thought I better share it with the people in the queue. The real danger of progressive Christianity. Now, let me stop a second. Can somebody explain to me what would be progressive Christianity? Can somebody explain that to me?
Building lies on top of lies.
Building lies on top of lies, or taking scripture and twisting scripture and then building ministry. In other words, judge not. That became a progressive Christianity mantra. Who are you to judge? Taken totally and completely out of context to the point now where churches won't judge. Congregations won't judge. How about this? Separation between the church and the state. So they planted that lie in our minds, and now most churches believe that there's a separation between the church and the state. And then they planted another lie and said, listen, religion and politics don't mix. And religion and politics don't mix. So we took religion out of politics, and now we have pretend salt, fake Christianity.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
This is my thought on it, too. Like, you see, you don't see, or you may see, like, a synagogue get hit or once in a while, but it's progressive that they're, the mind control is that Christianity, Jesus, any mentioning the name of Jesus is wrong. So you can't talk about sin, and you're not going to have a cross in your church, because you look at churches like Willow Creek, Hillsong, there's no crosses anywhere.
No. So, hey, Lorianne, how about this one? How about when this tranny went into Catholic school, how come we didn't start hearing racism? That's racism, isn't it? Didn't he go after Christians? Isn't that racism? Isn't it? How come we don't hear that? No. Christians are just, they're okay to shoot. They're okay to shoot them.
And he didn't hit a mosque, Coach, and he didn't hit a Hindu temple. They're all Christian churches.
Come on. Okay, so here we go. Come on, I'm just trying to open your eyes. The real danger of progressive Christianity is by Arch Kennedy, July 10th, 2025. I know nothing about Arch Kennedy, okay? When Baylor University returned 1.65 million, can you believe this? Baylor University got 1.65 million LGBTQ grant. David Arthur, I'm going to try to play your video here in a minute. Folks, crannies are sick. They are mentally ill. We're taking these deviant mental illness, spiritual whatevers, and we're trying to legalize it. Pedophilia's next. Huh? Pedophilia's next. Folks, that ain't normal. So when Baylor returned that money, one tied to DEI efforts and LGBT initiatives, it sent a ripple through the Christian world. On the surface, it looked like a victory, a Christian institution backing down in the face of public pressure from believers. But as Ali Beth Stuckey and others rightly pointed out, this wasn't a win born from spiritual conviction. No. See, Baylor didn't stand up just because homosexuality is wrong. No. It was calculated retreat. One that exposed a much deeper problem than any single grant. This movement isn't just a theological shift. It's a spiritual counterfeit, one that keeps the language of Christianity, the language, the words, but trades the authority of Scripture for the approval of the culture. Vinny, that would be a boom. And in my heart, I believe it's more dangerous than atheism. At least an atheist is clear about what they believe. But progressive Christianity, on the other hand, no. It deceives from the inside. It misleads us under the banner of Jesus, offering a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, from such men turn away. And it's costing people their salvation. What is progressive Christianity, really? Well, progressive Christianity isn't just a open-minded version of faith. It's a total redefinition of it. at its core, progressive theology, which is in most mainline denominations now, coming to a spirit-filled church near you. They reject the authority and the inerrancy of the Bible. They reinterpret sin through the lens of human experience. They emphasize love and inclusion over holiness and repentance. I'm going to say that one again. They emphasize love and inclusion over holiness. Broad is the way, narrow is the gate, many come, few find it. They downplay the exclusivity of Christ for salvation. This is churches. It often affirms the cultural moment over the eternal word. In this view, truth is flexible. God's commands are negotiable. And Jesus becomes more of a moral teacher than a savior who calls us to deny ourselves, tape up our cross, and follow him. Yep, folks, that's not Christianity. That's a deception. And for anyone unfamiliar with this movement, here's a biblical breakdown of progressive Christianity that explains how to depart from the true gospel. Don't go, okay, so I'm going to take a breath. Somebody say amen. Let me catch my breath.
Amen.
Amen.
So why progressive Christianity is more dangerous than atheism? It might sound extreme, but I truly believe that Christianity is a greater threat to the gospel than atheism ever was. Here's why. Atheists make no pretense about their disbelief. You know where they stand. But progressive Christians use Christian language, scripture, and emotion to validate teachings that directly contradict the Bible. They redefine sin, affirm lifestyles that scripture calls us to repent from, and reduce salvation to a vague message of self-love. This is so good. In doing so, they lead others down a path that feels spiritual. I mean, Jesus does love everybody, and we've got to be careful about who we judge. I mean, I get it. But ultimately, it separates us from Christ. And Jesus warned us about this. Watch out for false prophets, Matthew 7. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ferocious wolves. Progressive Christianity often wears the sheep's clothing well, but it leaves the people spiritually lost, thinking they're saved while embracing a gospel that has no power to save. This is so good. This is my brother from another mother. It's got to be. So Baylor's a symptom. Baylor's not the disease. Focus on the family is going under, folks. Focus on the family is going broke. The Baylor Grant controversy is just one example of a larger pattern. Christian institutions across America are slowly conforming to culture while keeping the appearance of Christianity. You get that, friends? They have a form of godliness. They look like a church. Many churches and universities want that brand of Christianity. Oh, yeah. Because that'll get those young people who don't know the gospel at all. If we could just put a Christian cross on our building, on our flyers, whether it's The Chosen, by the way, that was Mormon, partnering with groups that affirm sin, or seminaries quietly shifting their theological standards, the same compromise is at work, affirming the feelings of man over the commands of God. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all men, all things. Who can know it? This isn't about one issue. It's about all of them. Whether it's sexuality, gender, marriage, abortion, or even the exclusivity of the gospel, progressive Christianity molds faith to fit culture rather than calling culture to repent and follow Christ. We're the salt of the earth, not the sugar.
Boom!
Let me say something from the heart. I have many friends who consider themselves Christians and are also identify as gay. Some are even politically conservative. They love Jesus, or at least think they do. But they've been taught, as I once believed, that God affirms their same-sex relationships, David Arthur, as long as they're loving and monogamous. Yeah, anal sex becomes okay if you love your male partner. I understand the desire to reconcile faith and desire. I lived in that space for years trying to convince myself that God was okay with what I wanted as long as I was sincere, as long as my heart was in the right place. But sincerity doesn't save us. Jesus does. He doesn't just meet us where we are. He calls us to repentance, to holiness, to transformation. That's not cruelty. That's called grace. So I'm deeply compassionate toward those who are still working through these things. I cannot affirm a version of Christianity that leaves people where they are instead of leading them to the cross. Boy, that's a line, isn't it? Loving people where they are rather than leading them to the cross. And that's what progressive Christianity does. That's why it's so dangerous. Broad is the way, narrow is the gate. Many come, few find it. What the Bible really calls us to. Scroll down, Spence, wake up. True Christianity isn't comfortable. Betty, it ain't comfortable. You'll make enemies. Jesus told you, you're going to be hated of all men. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. The road of progressive Christianity is wide. It's attractive. It's affirming. Beautiful, beautiful sanctuaries. Fog machines. Lights. Feel good music. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. No, you don't. It's affirming, but it doesn't save. God's word doesn't change. His standards don't evolve with the culture. The call to repentance, faith, and obedience is still the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. And anything less than that isn't good news at all. It's a lie with eternal consequences. The churches are full of unsaved people. Call to courage. If you're a believer who sees what's happening in the church and you feel discouraged, don't be. God always preserves a remnant. But it's time to wake up. We cannot keep pretending that agreement equals love or that silence equals peace. True love tells the truth. And true peace only comes through Christ, not being affirmed by the culture. The danger of progressive Christianity is that it speaks peace where there is no peace. It offers comfort without conviction and affirmation without transformation. Hey, boys and girls, that ain't the gospel. That ain't the gospel. It's time that those at Coach Dave Live say so. With boldness, clarity, and compassion. 40% of Christians voted for a candidate who will murder babies. 40% of Christians voted for a candidate who will affirm homosexuality. 40% of Christians voted for a candidate who will approve cutting off little boys' dingers. Christians, 40% of Christians. Now, hey, they're not Christians. What did I write about there, Spencer? Pull that back up there. I'm going to open it up here in a minute. Spiritual diabetes. Spiritual diabetes. That's what we're dealing with. Okay, hang on. I'm about done. Are you there, David Arthur? Got anything to say? I didn't know David Arthur was going to be in this at all. I didn't know this. Are you there, Dave?
I am, Coach. I am.
What's your thought, Dave? I was going to play your video. It's really good. It's really long. Give us a nutshell version of what your video is, and then I'll put the video in the chat. Spencer, put the video in the chat, Spencer.
In a nutshell, I think that my heart breaks, not just for the victims, but also for the victimizer, because I understand the mental derangement, the oppression, right? The spiritual oppression.
David, homosexuality is a mental disorder.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's not an attraction. It is exactly a mental disorder. It is spiritual oppression, which causes mental disorders and imbalances. But I think that what we don't really grasp is that what we're supposed to be doing is calling it out, because the Rainbow Cult, as I put in the chat, is the largest, darkest, most deadliest movement we have ever been faced with, because it has absorbed all of the other movements. It's absorbed the abortion movement, the civil rights movement, the feminist movement, it's even absorbed Islam. After the Robert Westman shooting, a day or two after, there was another trans shooter in Massachusetts, and he was a Muslim. And
Hey, David, when was the last conservative, God-fearing Christian man that went in and shot up a school? Exactly. Does anybody know any of those going on? Go on.
Don't wait on an answer, because you'll be waiting for a long time.
And by the way, folks, in the culture and in the society, and who's the government? The conservative Christian who wants to stop it, or the homosexual deviant who wants to shoot children? Who is the villain? We know, don't we? Go ahead, Dave.
That's it right there. That's it. It just really gets me, because people aren't understanding that it's the educators, the counselors, the scout leaders, right? Administrators, the coaches, the trainers, foster parents, CP, it's everybody that is involved in this cult that is targeting these children. Children have always been and will always be the target of this cult. Always. Mm-hmm. Always. There's no getting around that.
Hey, David, what did Jesus, out of the mouth of Jesus, what did Jesus say about those who would mislead little children? Do you know, David, what did the Bible say about that?
Mm. That you will wish you were never born.
He said it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck.
You will wish you were
personally, never born. Personally, right. Put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the deepest part of the ocean and teach little boys they can be little girls, and we're paying for it.
See,
in our public schools.
And it also includes, Coach, all of these people that call themselves allies. If you're an ally of the LGBT, then you are an enemy of the GOD. It is that simple. You cannot partake of the cup of the Lord and partake of the cup of Satan. It does not work like that. That's why politics is not the solution. It's not going to take part in the solution, because the politics, even the conservatives, are platforming homosexuals, Muslims, God haters, and all of those who are opposed to God Almighty. That's who they're platforming. They can say, oh, well, I think the trans queer cult must be stopped from in the schools with the children. But
let's stop picking on them, David. Let's stop picking on them. Let's stop picking on them, right? David, yeah. Hey, David.
But homosexuality,
they are going
okay.
to legalize pedophilia. You understand it, friends? They're going to legalize pedophilia.
They already have. When they gave the Rainbow Cult extra special rights and protections, societal protections, cultural protections, legal protections, they legalized pedophilia.
Okay,
when they allowed that cult into the elementary schools, they legalized pedophilia. When they allowed little boys, little girls to get on puberty blockers and wrong sex hormones, they legalized pedophilia.
David,
sexualizing children.
The same medical system that gave us COVID vaccines, which we now was a lie, are giving us puberty blockers for our children, and our churches won't even say anything about it.
That's right. And the fact is that, they used to have an age limit of 8 years old. Well, now they don't have any age limit. Now you can have your infant or your toddler can be transitioned, as long as you're in a state that will do it.
Well, David, I would say homosexuality and politics don't mix. We ought to keep the homos out of politics. We ought to keep the transgenderism and politics don't mix. We ought to keep the transgenderism out of politics, because that's what they did to the church. They
said Islam and politics,
Christianity and government don't mix. They don't mix. Right. Keep your religion to yourself. This guy here just murdered a bunch of people. He had a religion. And you know what else they're not telling us, folks? In his manuscript, in his whatever he wrote, he regretted ever doing it.
Yeah.
You ain't reading that everywhere, are you? He regretted ever doing the transition.
every single detransitioner that I have spoken to and been a part of their lives has bawled their eyes out that over what they've done to their bodies. They've sterilized themselves. They've mutilated their bodies. They've mutilated their genitalia. They can never be in a God-sent relationship with one man, one woman, because they have destroyed their bodies, and it's something that they will regret and deal with for the rest of their lives.
Hey, David, so here's what they've done to us. Evil men have crept in unaware, changed the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. Yes, we say, you know what, man? Hey, I ain't in transgenderism. That stuff's wicked. Oh, I watch porn masturbate four nights a week, but at least I ain't transgendered, right? That's where we are, folks. That's where we are.
And if you look through God's lens, guess what? You're just as perverted as that man that went in and killed those little babies.
Amen. Come on in, Jack McCarthy. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, that none of that could have happened if they hadn't turned an emotion into a crime.
Brian, focus on the families going broke because they didn't fight it. I'm going to get Mike Heath in here tomorrow to talk about it. Go ahead.
Okay, so hate speech. With hate speech, they can make pedophilia legal. See? Okay, now the question I have is, why isn't anyone looking at the policy of that Christian school, that church, that Catholic school? I'll guarantee you there's a tolerance policy in there that says we're okay, they're okay, don't say anything, no confrontation. You would be expelled for confronting the person that just killed those babies.
Jack, even though the Bible says have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Hey, folks. Trinityism is unfruitful works of darkness. And the churches have not been told to oppose it. We've been told to tolerate it, accept it, understand it. They ain't after you. They're after your grandkid. Jeff. Jeff Klein.
I was grabbing my coffee. Hey, you know what? Just this morning, real quick, two things real quick. The one of the LGBTQ priest met with the Pope, the new Pope.
What the hell is that? An LGBTQ? What the hell is that?
Yeah. They just met behind closed doors, and he said, you're going to like the decisions the Pope is going to make about LGBTQ. But, oh, gosh, it was disgusting.
Yeah, he ain't no Pope.
But I wanted to bring this up this morning, and I know David won't say nothing. With all the battles Dave is fighting right now, people attacking him and what he's standing for, and he's getting ready to try and move to Ohio and sell everything they got and just stepping out on faith. His mom's been ill. She's battling some stuff. She goes in today for an MRI. He texted me this morning, asked if we'd pray for his mama. She goes in for that MRI. So if somebody wants to pray for her, that'd be great. Hey, and everybody should pray through the day.
Can I butt in here, Coach, on telephone? Yeah, I'm a victim of, this is Carl, I'm a victim of childhood pedophilia. They started working on me when I was 6 years old, and, man, it really messed me up. I ended up with mental illness, and I was, you know, every time I'd try to get involved with the woman, you know, I couldn't handle it. I acted out worse and worse and worse until I ended up having to have repair surgery, you know, for us. I was abusing myself so bad, and it just totally messed me up, man. I am just, I mean, I'm a wreck, you know, mentally and physically, you know, because you're trying to deal with it. Hell, I have nightmares. I've had nightmares ever since it started happening. It won't go away.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a hellish nightmare. Those people are goddamn evil. I'm sorry, man. They're just, that's my point of view. I'm sorry for what I said, but man, it's awful.
It's an evil spirit, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, man.
See, it doesn't say have nothing to do. We don't want it to say have nothing to do. It says love. We're supposed to love the unfruitful works of darkness. And those are performed. They're just lost sinners. Really? Is that really what it is? Well, give them a chance to get saved and then give them justice. That's the way it works, is it not? Is it not? Who am I supposed to pray for here? Oh, David's mom. Lord, just touch her. Healing is the children's bread. I'm not going to say some long, lengthy, beautiful prayer that sounds good to our ears. Lord, we trust in you. You are the great physician. We ask you to touch her in Jesus' name. Amen. Randy.
I second that, Coach. I agree. Amen. Doesn't take a long prayer.
Nope.
Hey, Coach, this look at what's rolling out. This is, to me, it's really, really clear. It's really, really encouraging. I'm optimistic, even though things are dark. Look, the fake church cannot represent the kingdom of God. One, right? One. Secondly, Coach, what you're showing, progressive Christianity, is what the church has become.
That's right.
It cannot express the kingdom of God.
Right.
So what do we have, Coach? We have a church system absent of the Holy Spirit. Who teaches us truth? Who leads us in all truth? The Holy Spirit, Coach.
Right.
So
right.
How can a church absent of the Holy Spirit lead the world or anybody in the truth? It cannot, Coach. So here's the deal. God raises up a remnant for a time. Look, I was dumb for years, Coach. I wasn't a part of the remnant. I was one of the fake church.
Yep.
Okay. Now he has a remnant. Now he has someone to use as a standard for judgment. So, Coach, God, the day of judgment is on us. Craig is so on this thing. But it takes a repentant, a compassionate people to bring the gospel of truth. You can't do it with swords. Those that live by the sword will perish by the swords. We have to use compassion, but we have to be soldiers and strong and carry the sword, Coach.
Right. So
we are the fix, Coach. David always puts in his in the chat about his book, because his book has solutions. It gives people answers to the problem. And if we will implement the kingdom of God, Coach, a lot of this will go away. They need to see the kingdom of God, because that's the presence of God, Coach.
So yesterday, this weekend, when I was in, again, I'm not being critical about it. Sounds critical, okay? There aren't many solutions, folks. It's all information. They give you information. Nobody stands up and says, okay, what are we going to do about it? John Dislin did. You guys know big 7-foot John Dislin? He gave a good 20 minutes presentation of the gospel and our obligation to stand up and fight. I did. And gospel's mixed in and out. But friends, if are you looking at me? Politicians aren't going to solve this. Politicians will not solve this. They just want to get elected, reelected. The church embedding itself as salt into the culture can. It's the only way it'll work. We get Christians run for office and other Christians won't vote for them because they don't want to mix church and state. How stupid we are. Lauren.
This was just with all this trans agenda and then all the raping of children. That's just another form of abortion. Dismemberment. It's dismemberment. I mean, one of the abortion techniques for, you know, an infant is dismemberment. So the baby, and that's what happened with me. My child was ripped apart limb from limb. They're just doing the same thing out in the open with people's kids, and then with allowing children to be raped. It's just another form of abortion. It's the ending of a life, ending of a soul, ending
well,
of the mind,
Jesus
and aborting the generations.
Better for you to put a millstone around your neck than to do this to a kid. And we do it every day in our schools, teach children things that are not true. The church, for the most part, oh my goodness, has become good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Those are Jesus' words, not mine. Good for nothing. It's good for nothing.
And the church doesn't even call any of this sin. It's tolerance. It's tolerance to sin.
We've been taught
it's tolerance
to love
against
the
cross.
Love the sinner. Love the sinner. Right? Love the sinner. Let's get us a few homosexual teachers. That'd be good. Let's get a few in there, right? Who are you to judge? Craig.
Well, Randy's, man, we're patience is hard, coach. Patience is hard. We want it yesterday. Hey, I wanted it 3 years ago, coach. 3 years ago in Gettysburg. And this is what the Lord's put in my spirit. They weren't ready for it yet, Craig. As much as I wanted it, right? Yeah. And this is going to be, I think the Lord's going to use this for people. This isn't for everybody, coach. What we're doing is not for everybody. It's for the people who have the ears to hear. That's how every ending of the letters to the seven churches. And I'll say it again. It wasn't seven letters to one church. It was seven letters to each other church. Not every church is the same, but the Lord is going to refine it. There is no one whose heart is breaking over what bad doctrines and bad theology and bad churches are doing than Jesus himself, because they're riding on his coattails. So the thing is I'm hoping that people come to Refiner's Fire and then they look at, you know, the about section and they go, gee, I wonder what this a calling to the people is. And I hope they click on it. And you know what I hope they go to? I hope they go past David Hebner and they go to this lady called Michelle Dobenmeyer and sit there and watch 5 minutes of her. And I hope the Holy Spirit convicts them like they've never been convicted before.
Spencer, go to that. See if you can find that. Is that on Refiner's Fire, Craig?
Oh, you can go to Calling to the People. I mean,
Calling to the People. Pull that up there. Michelle, my sweet little wife, praying at Gettysburg. How long ago was that, Craig?
It's going to be 3 years, September 26th this year. You see, it's three. We're on a three-year cycle here, Coach. That was 2022, right? So go to David Hebner. Go up to David Hebner there. You see David Hebner. Click on him. There you are, Coach. That's you.
How long ago was this? 3 years ago.
On September 26th this year. That's me. Go past me. Keep going.
Keep going to see Michelle. Keep going.
You'll see Michelle. After David, Michelle comes up. There she is. That's her.
About from a mother's heart, and I looked up the word repent. So the dictionary meaning is express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoings or sin. Think about that. To repent is to express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sins. And that's what we're here today to do, to repent, to express our sincere regret of remorse for what we've allowed to go on in this country. And I just wanted to, like I said, from a mother's heart, just all of us gather and repent right now, Father God, for the slaughter of our innocent little baby boys and girls. It happened on our watch, my watch, all the watch of many of us here when we made it not really legal, but it became an edict of our land. So, Father God, we repent. We repent from the bottom of our hearts over the slaughter of the innocent boys and little girls, Lord God. And we ask for mercy. And we ask to guide us into what we can do from this day forward to stop this slaughter. There's something each and every one of us can do, whether it be praying in your room or going down to a clinic or telling your grandchildren about the sanctity of life. We all can do something from this day forward when we repent and ask for his forgiveness. The other thing that I repent for is the raising of our children. So many of us have not raised them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We have not taught his precepts and statutes, and we've let them run wild and free while we're going and doing our business and doing our careers, and we've neglected to raise our children. Some kids don't even know who Jesus Christ is. So, Father, we repent of that. We can't go back, but we can move forward, and we ask you forgiveness and give us direction and how we can help from this day forward our neighbors, our grandchildren, whatever, that we can begin to tell them about Jesus Christ and what he's done. We have to let the world know that Jesus Christ is Savior, and don't hide him under a bushel because we've hid him there for so long. And also, I want to repent of just the opposite. We've raised our kids and put them on such a pedestal. And we've let them run and become selfish, indulgent children, Lord. And let them do whatever they wanted to do and not giving them guidance of anything, Lord. So I repent that we have done that to our children and not been there and disciplined them and taught them respect and taught them to love you, Lord. So forgive us, and from now on, from this point, touch somebody with the love of Jesus Christ. We also repent for the government schools, Lord God. We know how awful they are, Lord Jesus. And the things that go on there, and we just ignore them. We just ignore the LGBTQ and the homosexual and just the total disrespect and lying of our history that their children are being taught. So God, we repent. We just give remorse and regret for that. And Lord, may we start now and go to the school boards and go to our teachers and go to the places that God calls you to tell the truth. We can't be ignorant anymore. We have to speak the truth wherever we go and wherever we assemble, in our schools and in the churches as well, Lord Jesus. And so I just want to take the last repentance, that everybody just take a quick moment in their own lives and in the children they have come in contact with, or they've raised or not raised, and that you would just think of something personal that you could ask the Lord to do, to forgive you and have mercy on you. Just take 1-10 seconds to say in your heart what that is that you know between you and the Lord. I know you hear the cries and the repentance of these people that are here, Lord Jesus. I know you hear it, Lord God, and have mercy on them and forgive them. And you have said, go and sin no more. So Lord, may to each and every one of us reach out with a mother's heart, a father's heart, a grandmother's heart to these children, these innocent little baby boys and girls and teenagers, Lord. They need us to teach the truth of Jesus Christ. Thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, I love that little girl, huh? Wow. Wow. 3 years ago, huh, Craig? 3 years ago. 3 years ago. And let me get back over here.
Yeah, it was September 26th, Coach. And the reason we picked September 26th, because in 1861, the nation was at war. And Abraham Lincoln wrote this proclamation. He said, we need a day of prayer, humiliation, fasting, and repentance. Boy, it'd be great if we got Donald Trump to make another proclamation like that.
Wow. Randy, quickly.
Coach, what Michelle's doing there, you can't do it from your seat on your couch. You need to be there with boots on the ground. This is what Craig and I have been pushing for all this time. When we're standing there, Coach, we're actually telling the evil, we are displacing you. That is what the kingdom of God does in truth and in deed, Coach. It displaces the evil, what's there. And if we'll declare God's word and his truth and decree the future of the kingdom and the presence of God there, I'm telling you, Coach, the spiritual high places go down. And that's what we do. If we got to see the value in this, Coach.
So Randy, it's not conservatism, is it? It's not republicanism. It's not any of that stuff. And unfortunately, the church has left the condition of America in the hand of politicians.
Amen.
And we have wicked, wicked politicians. And then we have the audacity to criticize Trump not being Christian enough. It's mind-blowing to me. Folks, many of our churches aren't Christian. That's far worse than the White House. Many of the men standing in the pulpit are not Christian. They're in the pulpit because their mommy and daddy said they were a preacher called from the womb. They found out, a lot of reasons. A lot of people have a calling. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people have a calling. But they're giving us a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, bowing their knee to the edicts of government. Bending their knee to community pressure, not wanting to be hated, not wanting for people to criticize him. The crucified Christ brought us away, narrows the gate. See you tomorrow.